Thank you for choosing to listen to this message. At Coastal, we believe in changing and enriching lives through the power of the Word. We pray that this sermon would be a blessing to you.
Let's make sure everybody gets a 3x5 card. And our pens are different. Our pens are away. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. I'm over here. Now, I want you to just take a minute and we're coming to the close now. We only have two more nights of this series to do, and we're going to skip next week, which is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We'll skip that one. And then we'll take up December the 1st. And then that's it. That's our cutoff time. Thank you. What I want you to do on the card there is to think of one thing that we could do that would make this the very best Bible class ever. Okay, just jot that down. I'm not fishing for compliments. Now, I'll take them, and I'll tell you thanks, but this is not to fish for compliments, okay? This is, if we need to make some changes, we'll make some changes, okay? My plan is that we'll collect those cards tonight, and then I'll have a meeting, hopefully pastors and our crew will be able to meet together, and if we got some changes to make, we'll make those changes, okay? And very often there's a great idea out there, and we don't want to pass that up, okay? A great idea, okay? Take a couple minutes to do that. No, that comes up next. That comes up next. All right. And the text is not written. The book is not written on your notes. It's Mark. Okay, but we'll get to that later. Okay, that's Mark. Mark 3. Okay. Are we good? Would somebody collect cards? Just collect them. No. Just write something down. Write something down. Write something in there, okay? At the other church, I had one of these guys that was into quality control, you know, with a car plant, and he would take that and he would make sense of all that, okay? I'm going to do my best with him, okay? But he would really make sense of that. He would do that, okay? Have we got that? Now, do we want to continue doing this? We do. Okay. So where do we go from here? Well, yeah, we got to have some kind of plan to go forward. I haven't heard any ideas there. Go ahead, Joey. Try and follow him as technical even as we can, like geographically, and I tell you what, my heart says I like this idea, and because I want to, we could do some kind of theology, but I just think it would be so dry. And this way, we keep stories involved, so. So we're thinking the journeys of Paul. Okay. All right. And what do you want to start? What is it? The second Wednesday of I couldn't get a calendar today. I've been whining about that ever since I've been to the dollar store. Well, that's what they say. It's on the phone. I'm not sure where that is. Oh. Yeah. I'm sorry. 12. We have a little time off. Are we good with that? Joan, would you make a note of that? 12th of January. Okay. All right. All right, guys. Good job. We're going to be off next week. Scratch that off. Following week, we will have the final of this series, which is that's the 1st of December. And then we'll start up on the 12th, did we say? The 12th, then, of January. Okay? And we'll hopefully noise that around, make sure we keep that in church and that kind of thing. Okay? All right. Okay, now, tonight we are doing the healing of the man with the shriveled hand. If you have your Bible open, you'll notice that there's it in chapter 2, just previous to that, the last section of chapter 2 deals with the Sabbath day. Somewhat of the law in general, but deals with the Sabbath day. So healing the man with the shriveled hand continues that narrative of what about the Sabbath day, how do you observe it, okay? And so that's the, in chapter 2 is where you have about the law that you don't take an old new patch and put it on an old piece of cloth. You don't do that. And I think if they're talking about shrinking, yeah, okay. I think that's what they're talking about in the tears and that. Or we don't put new wine into old wineskins. You just can't do that because they'll burst. And, of course, what he's saying is you can't put the law into this. You just can't do that. It just won't go together. So you can't do that. And so you're dealing with the law. And then right away you start dealing with the Sabbath day. And the first one, which we're not doing tonight, is the disciples were going along picking grain. Yeah, that's the story there. They go along picking grain. And has anybody here ever done that? Pick the head of wheat. You're from this area, Tom. You know how to do that? Then you blow off the husk, and then you can eat the grain. Yeah, and that's what they were doing. That's what the disciples were doing. They were pulling heads of grain and then putting their hand and blow off the husk. I think that's what you call it, isn't it? Chaff. Blow it off and then eat the grain. You get a little bit of nourishment that way. Well, the Pharisees, they had a spasm when they saw that because they said you're harvesting grain and you can't be doing that on the Sabbath day. And so they get into that argument. And then Jesus says, the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for the man. That's a radical approach to what they would have done, okay? And I want you to keep that idea, that radical approach when it comes to this text. Now, the difference between this and, wasn't that a blast last Wednesday night, huh? Wasn't that? People had ideas, didn't they? they had ideas, boy. That's good. That's good. Yeah. But this healing is so much different because, like last week, it was all about the guy that was healed. And this week, it isn't about the guy that's healed. Matter of fact, he's kind of a pawn. But you'll see it when we do it. Okay, you'll see that. Okay. So this is a different focus, right? And in tonight, now we're going to focus in on Jesus and what he does, and then second, what the other people do around him. But like now, last week it was just about the guy that was healed. Yeah. So okay, let's take a look. See here, our first slide. I think there's six verses of this. We got six slides, so we're good to go here. Okay. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. See, just pretty simple, straightforward. And this is on Sabbath day, and it's probably what Jesus is used to doing. And so he's visiting the synagogue on Sabbath day. And I'm not sure happened to him. I'm not sure how that is, but there was a man with a shriveled hand. Okay? That's all we're given. So go to the next slide. Some of them were looking for reasons to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath day. Well, I think it'd be a really good sermon to hear why do people go to church. I think it'd be a really good, not one I want to do, but yeah. This has been years ago. You remember that song, "Oh, the games people play now, every night and every day now"? Huh? Remember that song? There's a book come out right after that called "The Games People Play." Huh? I don't know. It actually is a pretty good book. It'll explain a lot as to why people do. You see them do stuff, and you wonder, why do they do that? Well, they have reasons. Now, their reason for going to church is to watch and see if they can catch somebody doing something wrong. This dour and sour group are there to see if they can catch somebody doing something wrong. Huh? Oh, you don't say. She said there's still people like that. Imagine that. And they're not there acting out of love in any way, shape, or form. They are there to point out the wrong that other people are doing. And I think it gives them a sense of superiority, you know. And you'll see people do this. They're grasping at some kind of, how can I be relevant? And just imagine that somebody could see one of our church members doing something wrong. I mean, that just never happened, does it? I mean, it's such a big thing to say, well, they're a sinner. Well, okay, I get that. Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's all of us, isn't it? I mean, isn't that one of the tenets that we hold? Yeah, but why do people go to church? Well, those people, there's some of them, are there to watch closely to see if Jesus would heal on the Sabbath day. And without any good intentions, I might say. All right? So, Jesus goes to the synagogue. Others are there. Oh, the game that they play, well, I won't tell you the whole name of it, okay? The game that they play is "Now I Gotcha." That's the game they play. And you'll see people play. They don't have to be in church to do this, okay? But you'll see people who play that game. They have no intention of love there at all, or understanding or anything. They just want to point out, they say, you did that wrong. Okay? Like the little kid that shows up in kindergarten. Teacher looks at him and says, I love this. You got your shoes on the wrong feet. And he looks down. And then his little face just crumbles up and he cries and says, well, what's the matter, John? He says, these are the only feet I got. See? See? I mean, just you think you, okay, good. You don't got people. You know, playing that silly game is just, there's no good end to that. Okay. So they're just there to watch. They're not going to do anything worthwhile. They're just there to watch. Okay, we'll go to the next one. Okay, let's see. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everybody. Now, you have the sense that he's almost like a pawn in this story. Or at least as I look at it. Okay. Now, I'm sorry? Yeah, I don't know that that's true or not, but who planted him there? No, that would be the real one. Oh, okay. I'll go along with that. Okay. I thought maybe the Pharisees has got this guy there just to check and see whether Jesus is going to act. You know, I would. Yeah. We don't have that information in our story. Okay, we don't have that. Okay, so. And that's the giveaway. Okay. All right. Noticed in this one, Jesus takes control. Did you get? Okay, I'm glad you got that too. Okay, because he told the man, "You come up here and stand. Don't just stay right where you're at. We got to do this in front of everybody." This is why I say that it's almost to me like when Jesus got the Pharisees there, and he just reaches out and tweaks their nose one at a time. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you can't get beyond. Yeah, we're going to do this in front of everybody. Okay, so, all right, go to the next one there. And then Jesus asked a question. And this is why I call it a short sermon on ethics. That's what Jesus does. He does a short sermon on ethics. Which is lawful on the Sabbath day, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remain silent. Remember, they're not going to do anything good. Matter of fact, they don't want you doing anything good. They're not interested in that at all. But Jesus asked, what is lawful to do? Okay. You keep telling me what I can't do on the Sabbath. Well, what could you do on the Sabbath? This is a very good question. Matter of fact, this is a great sermon. Okay. And then he says, to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath. Which one would you do on the Sabbath? Well, of course, they said neither one, because you're not supposed to do anything. Okay. But Jesus said, well, you should do good, or you should do evil. Or you can do good, or you can do evil on the Sabbath day. All right, so that's... Then, this is the part I like, this is really why I wanted to do this with you. He defines what is good and what is evil. Well, you don't have a lot of that. The authority to define what they are. And how does he define good and evil? To save life or to kill? Now, if you have trouble with good and evil, making sense of that, here's a great text for you to understand what Jesus considers to be good and what he considers to be evil. It says, he says that, and this is typical Jewish thought here. If you read the Psalms, it's what I call stereophonic literature. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd. That's the first line. I shall not want. Well, those are interchangeable. I don't want because the Lord's my shepherd. Okay? They're interchangeable. I call it stereophonic literature. And you'll find that all through Psalms. This line will say this. Next line will say the same thing in another way. And it'll just keep going that way. And that's what you got here. You got good and evil. And you're begged to compare that. Save life or to kill. Now, you're supposed to be able to do what? If this is the sermon here. Now, he's going to illustrate that by healing the man's hand. He's going to illustrate the sermon. Okay. By the way, that's what we have in our next lesson, too, is Jesus preaches a sermon, then he illustrates the sermon. Okay? Sometimes people like the preacher simply because they really can't understand what he's saying. A friend of mine, he was preaching in this church, and it was a mean church. I mean, it's mean. It's a mean church, yeah. And the only reason I know about this is because they called me down to do a revival in this church. Okay, and I get down there. And so I'm kind of getting a tour of the church. He's a young pastor, okay? He's a few years younger than me. And him and his dad and I were friends, okay? So I'm getting a tour of the church. I'm walking around. I just thought I'd look up and look in the baptistry. And there was used lumber in the baptistry. Now they called me down to do revival. And there's used lumber in the baptistry. What do you think their expectations are? They don't have any expectations. So I didn't say anything to him. He's a young man, and I didn't say anything to him, but I realized that I was not there for the church. I was there for him and his family. And so I did as much as I could there. But a guy in the church told him later, said, you know, if they ever understand what you're telling them, Gary, they're going to run you off. And he was right. When the guy, Gary called me with a few weeks after and he says, I need a place to stay. Oh, it all worked out beautifully. Now, I want to tell you that, you know, the Lord has ways to work these things out. All worked out beautifully and everything was fine. But I just want to say this, okay? But what can you do? Now, there it is. But you've got to distinguish what is good and what is evil. What saving life means and what it means to kill. That's you got to decide. You have to work on that. Matter of fact, that's your responsibility. You see, these other guys, they're not accepting any responsibility. No responsibility. Well, you need to do better on the Sabbath. Oh, it says you can't do anything. That's what it says. It says you can't do nothing. Oh, no, you need to reach out maybe and help somebody. Oh, no, you can't do that on Sabbath day. You're not supposed to do anything. You see, they're not taking responsibility for their lives. They're blaming God for their laziness. And Jesus said, you got to take responsibility for your life and what you do with it. Here's a real kicker. And I say this from the bottom of my heart. Your choices and your life is very, very important. What you do with it is important. And this world is less if you don't do what you're called to do, or if you're not the person God has called you to be. This world is worse off if you are not that person. And we get that message right here. It's important what you do. It's important to other people. It's important to you. And it's important to the world at large. It matters. Your ethical choices matter. If they don't matter, you wouldn't have this talk here of Jesus. Okay? Good and evil. To save life or to kill. You make the choice. What do you think? I'm on the life side of this, okay? That's where I want to be. I meet you on the street or talk to you no matter what. My job is to enhance your life. Thank you. I just got one of those up here. Just one. That's a good one. But we just one. I do too. It is. It is. And it looked like the one gentleman that was here for the first time, I didn't even see him Sunday morning. There's so many people here anymore, I can't even. Yeah, but I didn't even see him, but it looked like he had a really good experience here. It sounded like it from the, sound like it. Amen. Okay. I'm sorry, did somebody say something? Okay, all right. But you have to decide what is giving life and what is killing. You can't escape responsibility by hiding in the law. Not when you got a guy with a shriveled hand right here in front of you. Okay? All right. Go to the next one. Jesus heals the man. He looked around at them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. I know it's a beautiful, beautiful text. But you see, we're not hearing from the man or anything like that. Again, he is almost a pawn. I don't mean that bad, but I'm just saying that we got bigger fish to fry now, and that is understanding what? Good and evil. Life and death. That's what you got to work on. And you got to make some decisions along the way. The other thing about this text, which would be interesting to do, you can't help, when you're a preacher, you can't help do this stuff, okay? I'm looking, I thought maybe a sermon on the things that make Jesus angry would be a, did you feel the thing? Yeah. But this made him mad. He's angry. The only one, other one that comes to my mind is cleansing the temple. But we don't have that till we get to the end of Mark, unless you're reading John. Okay, which we're not. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're not willing to do anything of value. Yeah. Go ahead, Heidi. Yes. Well, I'm glad you brought that up that way. Not my ox. I'm going to get him out of there. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you could see this, Maria. You could see this. I mean, this. You can see this. Okay. You're not going to miss this. This is not something you would miss. Okay. All right. So, stretch out your hand. You'd be deeply distressed at their stubbornness. And said the man, stretch out your hand. And somehow, as he stretched it out, it just was healed. That's the wrong one. It's the right hand. Find that out from Luke. The right hand. And the tradition behind this, okay, just take it as a tradition, right, behind this is that this guy was a masonry worker. And that because his hand was shriveled, he could not continue to work and couldn't provide for his family. So Jesus is not healing a hand. Jesus is healing a man. Okay? It's easy to slip off, I know, and talk about Jesus healed the hand, but that's really not what's going on here. Jesus is healing a man. And us guys know that there's a certain dignity of being able to work and provide for your family. There's a real dignity in that. That should never be sold short in any way, shape, or form. So that's that kind of, we got the healed hand now, okay? Let's go to the next and final verse. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. That's good. Yeah. Now here are guys. They can't stand for you to heal a shriveled hand on the Sabbath day, but it's quite fine to plot the death of Jesus.
More rather than the fact that he did something good, but they messed him with their program, the way they were wrapping him. Yeah.
You can be that nice, Lisa. And you can, no, it's fine. That is quite appropriate point, okay? I'm more cynical than that. I am. I'm more cynical than that with them. Okay. And to say this. That's why we had to do this one. This is the height of hypocrisy. And that's why Jesus laid it out so clearly. I'm sorry? Oh, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill. Well, they decided what they could do on the Sabbath day, and what is that? Kill. Sure. Oh. I think he called him on it. He called him on it. Yeah. I'm sorry? But what an indictment you're making, Heidi. And I think you're right, by the way. What an indictment. To know that you're doing harm and to continue to do it. Matter of fact, you want to stop anybody else that might be doing good. Now, how far do you have to go until resentment and just out and out anger and deceitfulness get you to a point like that? Just how far do you have to go? And it's a long ways down that street, I know, but they're there. And they think it's okay to plot the death of Jesus. But, you know, to him, he's just another peasant from Nazareth. Okay. Another wannabe. Go ahead, Kim. You're indicting them further. They don't care. I know. That's why I say you've got to go a long ways down that road before you get there. That's part of his problem, too. Jesus' problem is they're amazed, and so the Pharisees want to remove him. I mean, the average person is... Yeah, but we ain't there yet. But no, you're right, but we're just not there yet, okay? And I don't want to take the onus off these yahoos that are looking on this, okay? Yeah. Okay. So you see, the sermon's illustrated perfectly with this last note. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, Bob. Right. I'm glad you hit on that again, Bob. I'm glad you hit on that again. Just don't let resentment and deceitfulness. You stay on that road. That's why I'm hearing Bob say, you stay on that road. This is where it goes. And you don't want to go there. There's nothing good down that road. And do all that you can not to head that direction. Okay. Because this is where you go. Okay. It started out by we want to watch and see what he does. And then he gave them a sermon. And they didn't like the sermon. Now he illustrated the sermon by healing the guy. And then they further illustrated the sermon by going out and plotting his death. And you get, that's why I just had to do this one. So if anybody wants to talk about ethics around you, oh yeah, I know the ethics of Jesus. By the way, here's what they are. That to save, and I add the word enhance life, or to kill, to detract from life in some way. Okay? Now we're done here and we're 15 minutes early.
And then when you think about a loving person like Jesus, his disciples were really stuck. It's just you see the difference of a crowd under control and rules and versus like Jesus' disciples where they spent the ball all the time. And they weren't afraid, like so it just shows you that this, you know, love a loving leader versus that fear and control and rules.
Yeah, but if you're a peasant from Nazareth, which Jesus is, okay, carpenter merely means a day worker of some sort, okay. And most of them didn't read or write. And here you're faced with these well-educated Pharisees. And so, yes. Yes. And here, I'm sorry? And here, Jesus says, there is no way to evade the responsibility of how to act no matter what day it is. You cannot avoid doing good simply because of some regulation. And you're still held responsible. Okay? Thanks, Lisa. Do we have anything else? Yeah, I think that's even, yeah. Yes, there's several passages like that. And stay on the life side. Stay on the life side. And I know that death becomes attractive at times in people's lives. I know that. Be aware of that. That's why build in as much good as you can. And build as much beauty into your life as you can. By the way, I think that I like that emphasis when we have little artwork going on over here. Oh yeah, yeah. Well, the world needs beauty and artists to interpret it for us. Okay, we need this, and that might be able to help you get over. If you build that into your life, if you get one of these death bumps, that you might help you get over it in a most healthy way. Okay. Okay, we good? 11 minutes. Good job. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love toward us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And down deep in our hearts, we thank you for him who makes things as plain as possible for us. Lord, help us to make those good decisions that not just add to our life, but adds to the life of those around us. Help us to do that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.